responded to the hope at the ignition level of sonics and octaves. And until you can get the speed to your eyes moving in, there's no hologramic reaction going on in the brain. And that's why people use drugs that try to get that reaction in the brain. But it's actually going on there at a very subliminal level, in the delta level of the area to go down and that it opens up. But the more you become conscious of it after a while, then the what you call third eye vision is convex vision from the optical return versus concave vision. This here becomes actually what everything is. Then you'll understand the investiture of what Christ consciousness is. It's not a goal. You can't go to Christ consciousness. You are Christ conscious if you don't remember it. The reason you don't remember it is because all the viciousness of the previous body forms have to be phased out in a carbon-based body. The carbon-based body is the last body for the realization of Christ consciousness. The other bodies have it, but they abuse it. That's the silicon, salt, and the methane. The carbon is the last left. So if we don't understand it in the carbon base, then the universe ends then. Because there is no reversal to many of the chemicals or the minerals in the universe, the elements. Carbon is the last. It's the one they call the conversion into the diamond body, or what they call chemical permanency. So until you get the understanding, and that's what Paul wanted in the end, because he didn't want the magic no more. The magic was there, but the understanding was hard to get. And when you get your understanding, and you're hard-headed like me, and don't believe nothing, so you muck it up. Then you're sitting in this room. God, love you, Carl, and thank you. We're not going to deal with belief today. We're going to deal with a lot of facts about what we are and how to work it. In the meantime, get accustomed to the eyes, to the understanding of the active flow. That's what you call convetus. Then the next word begins the what the tape will be sure. Come, let us make. What is make? Manifest. So elements in a chaotic state known as entropy or known as the ubiquitous periodicity. That was a nice fancy word for I don't know what that is. Organizes the creative intelligence that is seeking to arrange it with geometry. But to put it into a geometry, sum is the manifested principle. What you're looking at is the electromagnetism. Otherwise known as energy equal to mass times the velocity of light squared. That's what we're actually looking at. But until it takes geometry by sonics, it doesn't have a manifestation. And that's what the organization of channels and different things come. So the next step when we put the tape on, and then going through and I really discussed in many things that the government works in. But look at where we all came from. It's not who you are, it's what you are. But you don't remember, simply because memory is locked into silicon and carbon. These are the two forms of storing memory.
I got a question. If you look under a microscope, the sperm, that's what you see. Is that what you're talking about, or are you talking about the just the random atom?
Both.
Both?
Both, going to the final immersion, conversion.
Okay.
So the human form is a conversion of sperm and ovum. Okay. That's a circle and a stretch to a straight line. First the circle,
right.
That is pulls out to a straight line. But if you look at a straight line, it's a series of circles. Very minute, going back to. So that's what they call like, the yin and the yang, or the constriction, dilation, or the attraction, repulsion, or the male, female. And that's what the elements have every right to do.
So we're not talking here about the random action of molecules as much as.
The random action is their existence.
Okay.
That's how they exist, but they don't take any particular geometry other than be random,
mm-hmm.
but they don't break up, they keep their particular identity
mm-hmm.
in their randomness.
When I look at that, I see patterns.
Yep. Then that's creative intelligence starting to register.
I see.
If you are seeing patterns out of chaos, then creative intelligence is focusing through your brain as you breathe. Oxygen gives you the consciousness, which you have the class 2 in your nutrition. If you're curious to understand more of these, then the will to stick it out is the nitrogen. The desire to keep looking at it is the hydrogen, and to localize it and crystallize it to make it meaningful to be the problem.
There's the fact that the timer is blanking over there.
But at the same time,
look, he's the horse.
At the same time, you'll see it's unrehearsed. Each movement is unrehearsed. Sound asleep and don't know who you are if you're a man or a woman, in that total black, you are actually in that unified field. And in that unified field, in your cellular structure, you are elements. You're not a element, you are elements, R44 in a quantum chaotic movement all the time. So that's the only point that all realized men make an issue of. Do not go back to that state. Any other condition can be modified or reforgiven, but that's the only point in time when you're absent from what you are conscious, you are not loving the creative intelligence. So the commandment is, love the Lord with all of the mind. Total consciousness in the cellular structure. There's no way to do it unless you're conscious. You can't do things on the street, and that's why even Jews could decide to join students. If nothing else, no matter what misapplied decisions they did, that was the one thing he made an issue on. He wasn't fixing it, yes, he has to. In fact, put you right back to start all over again. For him to overcome it, I'll accept for the second time. You have to overcome the shutting off the mind to see the whole unified field and not lose your Christ awareness, which is the injustice of it, not the goal. See, there's no goal to get to. It is a recall of memory to your understanding of what you are. And then once you've got it back, then you don't let go of it, because you will not slip back into the unconscious level of sleep anymore. Now, the elements you'll notice, they are there because you right away they are eternal. Because they're not exploding away. They're moving constantly, waiting for the command. The only thing they're craving there inside of themselves as a form, as a charge, is this. But they can't do it without the skin of the manifestation. The elements are outside and inside of the skin. The skin is the dividing line, which is the I am. You don't have an I am, you are I am. You are the dividing line, that's the manifested form. So come let us, that's the creative intelligence within you that is feeling or sensing geometry. Trying to reach out for this. Touch. So it has to have a medium. The medium is called skin. Then it will take shape, and then it will integrate with its own polarity again as it is outside and inside. The matchup. It is attraction, repulsion, as male, female. Now, once the form has been accomplished and the touch has been registered, then the next condition begins, craving to own. Form wants to own. Evidence can't destroy, they can only harass, like push it pull. Otherwise it can't live. To destroy, how can they destroy themselves? They came together to push and pull as a form, and now the form creates ownership, but element can't own either. Element can only Xerox itself by extended charge and have dominion, which means objective direction. So skin is given the power to have dominion, not ownership. Skin is given the power to experience eternalness, not death. Skin is given the opportunity to appreciate harassment, not fear. And skin is given the opportunity to tell harassment, play somewhere else, don't interfere where I play. Conscious understanding is the freedom of it. You call it Christ awareness. You are free when you understand what you are. Then you have only one choice left. Live to live, or live to die. Live to die, elements will provide outlet called karma. Every action equal reaction. since they themselves are constantly moving, just as with permanently eternal, then going nowhere, and they can't be eradicated, then living to live is the ultimate appreciation of the reciprocal exchange between the actual element and the skin, and the understanding the skin expresses or utilizes the four elements. Your skin, which is you, which is I am, understands for the first time it's permanent, but which of the forms that is unique to this understanding of current makes all the difference. A skin that is of a silicon base, sulfur, methane, or carbon, that makes all the difference. The first three, we were drafted. The last one is a volunteer. We have the volunteer body. We're going to run into your space, brothers and sisters. They may not want to exchange their bodies to take on the uterine canal based on their memory, because they have tremendous control over the atomic physics. No, yeah. No. But they lack the mechanism to make them permanent. This is the only cellular one governed by nature, the chemical base, to be permanent. Yes, because they're living through what? And you are. When you put living to die, who will outlast who now? The grass or the diamond? So there's a weakness in the grass. Even though they both allow light to pass through, and they both can appear to stay for a heck of a long time without any impact, one is going to cut the other pieces if they ever can have an argument.
So what is the name of that created that in the silicone body? It's our own now, it's our own sonic. As opposed to, as you say, as you have to say, but make us think ourselves
not possible. Yeah, and if you realize that many of the channels who are dream channeling will not take the chance of coming with a living body to be born. They want to use your body while you're temporarily shut down in order to benefit from your oxygen, to impress others around who may feel they are not competent to handle the futuristic time frame of their nation, and want to know what's going to happen tomorrow before it happens. The channel is trying to incur or project them, forecast them. You're not here to condemn it or criticize it. That's a biological telephone process. We're here to establish what we are and exercise it.
Then somebody that the external being that does that, he's looking for the oxygen content, is that what he's looking for? So he can simulate it better?
If that person's looking for that oxygen content, if they keep moving from person to person, does that still allow them to live for as long as they want, or are they having to fade out at some point too?
They're not the fade out.
So there's an end point for them even when they go from person to person in the uniform. How is that occurring then if he has control of the elements?
They're going to be our elements. Which one has the power? The carbon base one or the base?
I guess I thought they have the understanding of how to use the elements.
They don't have what you've got. Like elements. Mm-hmm. Have no right to kill you. open up that understanding. You don't have no right to tell an element it cannot exist. If you can tell an element to place somewhere else. That's what Jesus said. And he only said it when he was in the common body. Peace be still to the wind, and Lazarus left your hell out of the grave. Father, I didn't have to say it in a loud voice only because of the people. And he said, Lazarus, come forth, telling us clear and straight that only the carbon based body has full command. Even the other types can't generate it. We are the only types.
So they don't have their command.
We have command over it. Why do you want to own anything if you're not afraid, if you're not in the mood? If you knew you were going to get more, would you care? What creates the fear? Because life is unrehearsed every new opportunity. That creates fear. Because of that, there is no way to get around in any form the anguish of if it's going to be there again. Can you look back at any point or any experience that you had in your life? Did you ever duplicate it or live it a second time? Did you ever rehearse it? Every instant is brand new and it will last for the first time. But in the meantime, the form is getting what? Dilated to the momentum of the mass around the point of reference. So if planets revolve around the sun, forms that are living in that particular location are dilating through the momentum. So they can't replace, they have to keep moving forward. So that's the basic fear. Now if it was permanently non-moving, do you want to make that screen non-moving? You know how to make it non-moving? Good. Sure, demonstrate it, demonstrate non-moving.
I don't know where the switch is. There you go.
Now, this is non-moving. And non-moving does not exist.
So how could that be non-moving then? Moving at a very slow rate.
It's non-moving in reference to visibility. But highly moving in reference to non-visibility. That's why it's called ubiquitous periodicity. In plain talk,
okay.
Movingness requires visibility to be observed and cannot be appreciated in invisibility. because you wouldn't have references to work with invisibility. So you get a loss with movement in invisibility. You'd have to get equipment now to track it, but then you'd have to compare it with what visible things you want to relate it to. That's why, come let us. The us is already existing in the invisible. So the first command of the come let in consciousness is, let there be light.
Yeah.
What then is existing now?
Lack of light.
Lack of light, not non-movingness. Lack of light of the movingness of the mass existing in the non-light state. And then the light, put on the light now. Then put on the light.
Which one, Jody? This one here?
Top right.
And so when the light came, this is what we saw.
How do I get there?
Understand why the reference point begins the what? The anguish for ownership. What would you want to own if there's no reference? Would you create to own anything if you have no reference point? But as long as you have no reference point, the only feeling you have is you want to touch. But as soon as you get a touch, touch is reference point. So Michelangelo, when he painted the relationship between God and man versus Leonardo da Vinci painting the Last Supper, Michelangelo painted a cloud, two hands in the sky, and the Pope gave him the prize. So you understand more than the other guy. And he was a student of the other guy. Michael was a student of da Vinci. Da Vinci painted to us disciples of Jesus sitting as the ultimate expression of spiritual life. And Michael created two hands in the sky. But the Pope, who is a realized person, was the one who made the comment, you understand the other book. You respect the other man's artwork, but you didn't respect him for the conceptual understanding. So, when you don't have a reference point, you can't feel. And the moment you feel, that's the start of a reference point. But the moment that start begins, the anguish of that reference point leads to ownership. And that's how come the wise man tells us we cannot own, because the elements can't own. They can only harass. But they don't have a right to kill, because they'd be killing themselves. And we don't have a right to tell them they can't exist, but we can tell them to play somewhere else. And we can't own them, because there's no way to own an element. You fall asleep, and you forget who you are, what can you own now? That's the whole condition. You're living with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, till midnight eternity, if you understand. And if you understand that you breathe, you live. If you don't understand that you breathe, you die. But then, since they are eternal, and they must provide opportunity, they give you the second chance to keep on repeating the process of living to die till you stop living to die, stop living to be left. And they call that understanding. For him that overcome it, the living to die state, wins them for the second time. You begin to live there, in the live to live state. So Christ consciousness is not a goal. It is the basic investiture on the structure of the universe. We don't know that. We were given it at the start. We forget it. We gotta wake up to it. Then when we wake up to it, we have to correct the mechanism to function in it. And so they say cleanliness is next to it. I say cleanliness is godliness, or the wholeness of the self. When you clean up the body, you go right back. And research and science and everything are all aimed to the cleaning up the function holistically, continuously. Continuously is repetition, right? What is repetition? Is it continuous or not continuous? So it's only word we're saying to the understanding of what we try to relate to. This is continuous, this is repetitious. But at the same time, continuous and repetitious is a foregone conclusion of being permanently there and going no place. But we live in the framework of locking into the terminology to act or not to act. To live or not to live.
Then I won't say it's being repetitious because you can perceive it differently.
That's opposite. That's why when you're in the form, the understanding is that God is unrehearsed, ever new opportunity to live the moment. Now, if you don't live the moment, what will they classify you as? Yeah. Well, where can they keep you? But that is already what? Existing immortal elements, they don't have no place to hide you. You gotta come out, they're not gonna keep you down there. Can an iron go away from iron? Can a calcium go back to floating? You turn back to what? All you disengage is the skin, that's the resin that holds them apart from outside and inside. And as soon as that skin emulsifies, they come back to that unified field. The stuff on top of your head, what do you call it?
Hair.
What's it made of?
A silicone.
No. Where is that going to go? It'll look for another silicone. So silicone will join silicone. Calcium will join calcium. Iron will join iron. And they all will be what? Unified field. Spinning eternally. Your creative intelligence decides, okay, you want to try again? To understand what it is? You want another body? Which one you want? Male district or female? Or you want to play shim?
I want
shim.
What's that?
Combination.
Oh. Well, I thought we were all combinations.
Ah, see, this is what you want. This is what we're talking about. We come back to play the combination because none of it can stay apart from itself. So that's what reflexology is based on. It's based on the combination expression. And so that's what we're relating to. That person over here, Sue.
Take her 20 minutes either way, Jody. Up and back, that'd be 40 minutes. Yeah. At least that. Minimum.
At least.
When you were a child growing up, can I remember the first time when a room didn't mean anything to you, it stopped meaning and become meaningful? Can you recall at what age did everything start to mean something to you?
When you learned to work for it.
Yeah. When you learned to be mobile and you start ready to walk or crawl or move.
How about when you take purpose? I know when you were able to reach out and catch it.
Can you not remember when you were a child growing up? When you just looking and everything was like a blur before everything became what?
Mm-hmm.
Oxygen is consciousness, is photographic. That's what you're referring to. The more you can go back to the early moments of consciousness from the breath, what the eyes were actually doing, impressed upon the brain. See, some of us can recall these conditions all the way, others don't seem to recall it so shut down from the trauma of the brain.
I'm not clear what the answer is. We talked about as soon as you're aware of the oxygen.
As soon as you take oxygen after they cut the cord on their own, oxygen is the gas that produces the phenomena called consciousness. Mm-hmm. Not intelligence, not intellect. Consciousness, and consciousness is a photographic function. I don't know.
When you have that consciousness, you're still not aware of your surroundings. You just know that you're there.
That's what consciousness is. When you start to make issues of the consciousness to be important to you, then you have to put in some reference levels. But if you don't do that, your consciousness becomes totally.
But that's when you're aware of the room, then, when you have that reference.
No, your consciousness begins to see everything as being transparent.
When does the photographing become memory?
When you are forced to make a repetition of impression that this is what it's supposed to mean to you by your own parents. Otherwise it doesn't. The whole thing is still transparent.
On photographs up to
a point where. Why are the kids going after drugs? Many of the kids have the memory of the transparency in their consciousness and want to get back here. And so the drug is an opportunity to disengage the fixation of the logic in the brain to let it look back at the transparency of matter.
Photographing at
that point. No. Or does it only start photographing after you take the photograph? No, it's both. Because you are this. What is this doing? Anytime something exists, it instantly carries memory with it. What is memory now? More of me. So mind, the word mind, is memory. The first letter is memory. Internally, it has to be the constriction dilation of a mass, navigating, that's got to move between each other, not explode or separate. Decision or desire, or direction. We only have attraction and repulsion, and every doctor or scientist today is coming to that realization in the end. Biomagnetism is the core of the mass.
So why does logic?
Logic is your alignment to the magnetic attraction between one word that is functional and another word that's not functional. That's where you get your logic. Is it logical to throw this to you like this? Or to walk over and have it to you? The first time you say throw it, the person who has never thrown it will do it. Then if all the pages went flying on the floor, what would you say? Is that a logical action to do? But you'll always remember, after that particular mistake, that you wouldn't throw, because, why? You have the situation to refer to. So, logic is a result of what? Memory. Being exposed to an experience of what? Applied or misapplied decision.
So
intuition is to know independent of the senses in reference to the application before it occurs, in order to make it functional after it occurs. And that's what your intuition is doing. It knows, like a radar. Logic is not going above 60 miles an hour. When you go beyond 60 miles an hour, the guru just says, shove it. They're not taking care of you. No guru is going to take care of you, or any spiritual being is going to take care of you in an automobile over 60 miles an hour. You'll face your own karma. And that's what they're telling us a long time. They'll protect you up to 60 miles an hour. Why? Because the planet we live on is geared to 1 degree every 4 minutes. If you divide 4 into 60, you're making a 15-degree movement in an hour. And that's a function of the quantum in their mechanism. Now that 4 degree is equal to the beat of the delta level 4 cycles a second. So if they are identifying the delta to be in line with the planetary system, they don't want you to go in any type of vehicle within different time frames and different processes outside of that particular flow, because then they're not going to work with you.
What about me?
That's a different time frame. What's the speed of sound?
It's 600 miles an hour.
So they'll protect you at the speed of sound, right? Mm-hmm. Now if you go to the next transition, they'll protect you here.
The light, that's, well, it varies according to temperature, but it's about 600 miles an hour.
So they got their own moment of identification for your protection. So each thing is set up for them to identify. Because they're working with a unified field. And a unified field is already set for direct manifestation in the existing environment. And elements don't have a right to kill. That's your investiture of the Christ consciousness. They have a right to harass the hell out of you. Because why? They are elements themselves, and they can only test themselves by harassing with a push and pull. We call it magnetic relationship. Now, elements don't have a right to kill, therefore elements can't tell you not to exist. You can't tell them not to exist. They agreed with creative intelligence to put you together as a form. And as a form, the investiture was, I am total in control of the elements that agreed to work with it. And therefore, from that mutual reciprocal exchange of I am to the unified principle, elements must harass, they can't kill, and you can tell them to go play somewhere else, but you can't tell them not to exist, and you can't own them. But you can zero up as much as you want. No element can kill. It doesn't have the right to kill. You weren't listening to what I said earlier, because if you listen to what I said earlier, those who live to die. When an element is harassing you as a real-life person, and you send the elements to play somewhere else. And this last year I was in a place called Flagstaff on a Wednesday night, and we were singing the elemental song, and the next morning, Thursday, the earthquake is going to Armenia, and those who have survived to this day, finding them under the drum, are the ones who have come to the internal conclusion of living to live. And those who have not survived are the ones who are living already with the idea of living to die. Wherever they are, whoever they are, once the thought of living to die comes, the elements provide the outlet. The elements will provide the harassment all the time in every area. Those who are realized will send the elements someplace to play out their harassment. They will play out their harassment on every other individual, be they living to die or living to live. But those who are living to die will experience the living to die, because that's what they expect. And those who are living to live will survive the so-called tragedy or harassment in order to appreciate there may be more going on inside of themselves. And they may meet you in a strange way when you least expect them 10 or 12 years from now. One day walking down the street, and somebody looked at me and said, I know you, but I don't know from where. And he said, why? One night I was sick, and I saw your face, strange, and I don't belong to this country. I was living in another country, and I came here to be a student. And why are you standing right here in front of me now, and I get the same feeling of that sickness? I says, because you have to meet. And the time for you to die wasn't to die. That was 1955. I fell off the building, and he was sick in another country. But you didn't know why, you met in 1965. So don't lock yourself down. Learn to understand that you are not a fixated form. Your opportunity to work through many forms to the level of understanding is being provided for you. And as soon as you get the understanding, then you understand what Jesus is saying. Seek ye first, not second, the kingdom or the storage. God, creative intelligence of the elements, which is already within your cellular structure, also outside of you as an environment, holding you together by push and pull, and his righteousness, how these laws operate in a reciprocal exchange between living to live and living to die, and it will free you from the fixation that the cellular separation between the elements own anything. Green man or women, lord of self, the separator of the element from outside or inside. You have total authority and power as the investigator. And to him that overcome it, that's the live, the die attitude. I, the consciousness, which is oxygen, will not send forth a second time. You breathe to live, to live. Immortality or permanency is a foregone conclusion of the element actually as it is. But you live the charades of expectancy to phase out by change. And once you accept the nature of yourself as unrehearsed, unanticipated, ever new opportunity, you are changeless. Is it changing? Still look permanent, but it can't stop moving. So all life is action. You're answering what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That means you just said it.
Yeah.
Well, you see how your own mouth to convince you? If you listen to what you were saying, you said it. The element is an actuality. It provides a shape, thought to itself, called flesh. Now, which one dies? The element or the flesh cease to breathe? Yeah? Ceases to do what?
Breathe.
Good. And what is breathing? What that substance called?
Oxygen.
Is that an element? Good. There you see why we're living on. Eastern man call it a maya, an illusion, a charade. Now you see the charade of it. We're living the illusion of living to die in a cellular structure that isn't really valid other than our fixation. Till you begin to accept the understanding of, and don't look for the magic. The magic is because you're only believing and you don't understand. That's why you want the magic, to stop the frustration of inadequacy. When you understand there's no inadequacy, there never was an adequacy. And so Paul came to that realization. He didn't want the magic no more because that kept him believing being inadequate and totally dependent upon something that didn't turn out to be valid. And now he's understanding for the first time he is permanent. Elements are permanent. They can't destroy. They can only harass. Form can tell elements to play somewhere else, but it can't tell elements not to exist. So between form and element, there is a reciprocal exchange. It's called life abundant. Opportunity to live versus living to die. And living to die will always have more opportunities than awaiting it to live when it decides to do it. Because the elements are a foregone, conclusive, immortal, permanent thing. It can't do anything more than provide a charade of living to die till it stops doing that charade and accept living to live. Why are you limiting yourself? living to live has no limitation. Where has living to live a limitation? You know, Lahiri Mayasha is sitting down, and somebody said, "Oh, you look great, Master. I'd like to take a photograph." So he took his camera, sneaked up, and he photographed. What did he get? Blank chair, everything around it. So who was there now? In the chair. You see now, elements again playing this charade in the camera, and the camera don't record. It tells the man in the camera, "Look, fella, you just don't know your physics yet. You know a little magic. The God is so great that he's teaching you in a simple way that appearance is all there is." So, photograph blank. Then Brother Jesus came along, where's his body? Kabir came along, where's his body? And many others came along, where are their bodies? Mass is capable of going from visible observation of 186 to 187, invisible observation. If he slapped you in your face and you look around, where the hell, who slapped me? And then you hear the voice that I did. But he's invisible and you're visible and you get the slack in your face. See? That's what we're talking about. You haven't got any place. You are shifting the speed of the body.
I misunderstood. Initially, I thought you were talking about not expecting to phase out of the flesh material.
What is flesh made of? Is it ever going to phase out? Or is it going to change form to satisfy like, fixation? So Shiva has a job going for him. How will you have the living to live versus the living to die if you didn't have a form to experience it? If you are elements now, take away your skin, what would you actually be? You would be the 144 elements moving around, having no... having no form, looking for a form, looking for a form, looking for a home. Okay, our friend is here. You want to fill up the seat? Did you sign in with it? We can get started now. There you go. You know what the show is.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now when you hear Mr. Manu talk, then you'll understand what we're talking about now.
I am the director of New Moon Sound Healers, a nonprofit organization dedicated to research and awareness of the use of sound and music for all people. My guest is Dr. Peter Guy Manners. Peter Guy Manners is a doctor from England. He holds a number of different degrees, including doctor of medicine, doctor of osteopathy, as well as PhDs from both Oxford and Heidelberg University. He has researched and worked with Dr. Hans Jenny of Basel, Switzerland, Professor Gavot of the Sorbonne in Paris, France, Dr. Brunner of Heidelberg, Germany, and George Delaware at the Delaware Laboratories in Oxford, England. Since 1961, Dr. Manners has been applying his knowledge of the effects of sound for healing to the development of cymatics, which is now internationally known and used in various parts of the globe. His Brett Fortin Hall Clinic in Worcestershire, England, specializes in the use of cymatic therapy, the direct application of sound on the body for healing. Dr. Manners, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Johnson. It's very nice to be back here, too.
Well, I wonder if you could tell us what exactly is cymatics?
That is it a new form of therapy, or is it something that is very ancient, very old? What can you tell us about it?
Well, basically, it is not something which is new. It has been researched over a long period of time. A lot of research has gone into the work, and it has been in use for approximately 20 years in our clinic in Worcestershire. But over and above that, you ask, is it very old? Yes, it is very old. The concept of sound or music or any of these type of things is as old practically as man himself. But in cymatic therapy, we have adapted it into the modern idiom, and now it is used in a technological way, which is scientifically approved, medically acceptable, and is in use in many clinics throughout the world.
Is there some sort of history of the use of sound or music being used in ancient civilizations? I've heard that stories of this type of...
Oh yes, many of them. We have worked in the research field, and in order to work in the research field, you have to go backwards as well as forward. Mm-hmm. And we've traveled into many countries examining the techniques anywhere where there's been any suggestion that sound of any type was used. We found great evidence of that amongst the American Indians, where they used sound and vibration to heal the sick. In Greece, in Egypt, in China, in Mexico, in Brazil, and practically all the countries it has been used. Also in biblical times, of course, music and the formation of sound into a music form was used with very great success, and you'll find great evidence of this in your Bible.
Mm-hmm. The Bible, how so?
There are many references to calming the savage beast with music, and also we all remember the story of King Saul and the harpist that he always had to relieve his tension, his stress, and his strain.
Young David, I believe it was.
Precisely. Yes,
indeed. Pythagoras, we know as the father of geometry, was also involved in this work. Is that true?
Yes, that's perfectly true. But also the temples of Delphi, we have discovered comparatively recently that music and sound was one of the concepts of their healing technique. A lot of the stories which have been written concerning the temples of Delphi are not wholly correct. And we found that the pulsation of beating notes and music was one of the therapies which they used.
Fascinating. Now, is cymatic therapy, what is it though? Is it sound? Is it music? Is it something you play from a tape recorder?
Well, of course, when you refer to sound, everyone sort of associates it with something that you listen to. With cymatics, this is not precisely so. It is literally the transplanting or the transmutation of accepted frequencies of sound into the tissue and structure of the human being. All the areas of the body, all the organs of the body, produce a harmonic, a sound. This sound is very small and very minute. This again is not a new concept, not a new theory, but it is only in comparatively recent years that technology has caught up with the concepts and the ideas of this, and we've been able to reproduce these frequencies and sounds. And now we can reproduce them, create them artificially, and transfer them back into the tissue and the structure. A lot of our doctors are referring to transplant because technically, I suppose, this is what we are doing. We are transplanting the corrected frequencies back into the structure to replace any abnormalities that exist there. Mm. Also, of course, one of the strongest points which we advocate is that we can use this in place of drugs and medicine. And if we can replace medicine with treatment, we find this is much better. It takes a little more time, and you have to have a little more attention from your individual practitioner or your doctor. But then that is one of the things which we are trying to push forward at the present moment. that the medical profession treats every individual as a holistic being rather than a condition.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that there are different frequencies for different parts of the body, and that with somatic therapy, you would somehow inject or put in the correct frequency that is needed for that part of the body. Is that correct?
That's correct. You see, every part of the body possesses a harmonic, whether it's a harmonic of the heart, the lungs, the liver, the kidney, muscles, bones, nerves, whatever it is, it produces a harmonic. This harmonic is now tabulated, we know what they are, and we can reform these artificially on a computer. Mm-hmm. Then it can be played back into the structure and the system. It is pleasant, it is easy, it is comfortable, there's no side effects. There are literally no conditions where it cannot be used, except if the patient has a heart pacer, but then that applies to all techniques of treatment if the patient has a heart problem there. But other than that, there are no conditions that can't be treated. Even in pregnancy cases, we have treated them right up to the time of delivery.
Mm-hmm. Now, cymatics, what does the word mean?
Well, in its early stages, which was now over 20 years ago, it was called sonic medicine or sonic therapy. Mm-hmm. But the general public got this confused with ultrasonics, which is quite understandable. So therefore, we changed the name to cymatics. Cymatics is a Greek word meaning pressure or waves. While we are using pressure waves, combined with the sound, so it's perfectly technically correct. Also, it pays tribute to one of the doctors whose groundwork formulated this concept and this therapy, and this was Dr. Hans Schöne of Basel in Switzerland, and he called his form of research cymatics, cymatic research. He did invaluable work. But what we have done is to bring the research of various physicists and doctors and scientists together, the list that you've already quoted, bring those together, and out of that we have evolved a technique of treatment which is now internationally known and is used right throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Jenny's work has been published in a couple of books.
That's correct. There are two books which are beautifully illustrated and shows the formation of shapes and forms that can be created by various frequencies of sound. He lectured very, very little. He objected to standing on a platform and lecturing, but he did make records of all his work. He made film of it. He took photographs of it. The books were illustrated from it. And just before he died, he passed all his research over to us so that we could amalgamate it and fit it with other concepts of therapy. There's one doctor which we have left out in your list, and he was very, very important, and that's Dr. Harold Saxon Burr. Without the concepts that he formulated, we shouldn't be in the position we are today. It's only thanks to these people who have laid the foundations on which we can construct this therapy that we owe so very much to.
Dr. Saxon Burr was associated with Yale University?
He was at Yale University,
and
yes.
His main work involved?
His main work was being able to discover that you can measure the frequencies of radiation outside of the body. When he first postulated this theory, I mean, it was mistrusted. I mean, at that day and time, I mean, very little was known about it, and no one quite went along with what he was saying. Fortunately, before he left this planet, he was able to come back to Yale University, and I think the expression is his picture was turned away from facing the wall, and there's now a picture on the wall again, because he was a very famous and a very talented man, and the work that he did was absolutely invaluable in the fields of research. And we find that now we're moving more and more into this field of research, that more and more of the technical truths which he wrote up and experimented with are of invaluable use to us.
Mm. What are your basic principles of using sound or cymatic therapy as a healing tool?
In the first and early days of this, we kept it locked into the use of muscular diseases, bone diseases, joint deformities, rheumatism, arthritis, fibrositis. Yeah, we kept it into these various diseases for several purposes. The main one was to accumulate as much information and knowledge and case histories as we possibly could to validate our concept and our theory. But also there was other things coming to the concept, and that was, it was very easy to treat because you treated the surface of the body. But as it has gone along over the past 20 years, we have found now that we can treat all parts of the body, and including the internal organs. And year by year, we are having reports fed back to us from various doctors and clinics that are using the instrumentation, that are feeding back new results and new points are coming to light.
Perhaps you could enlighten us a bit more about how exactly you could use a sound or a tone to counteract a disease or something that is not balanced properly in the body.
Well, if every organ and every part of human anatomy gives off a signal, providing all those signals are in line with the general harmonic of the whole body, then you are in good health. But if for any reason, irrespective of what it is, if for any reason any of those frequencies fall out of alignment, then you are diseased or out of harmony, disharmonic. Also, another thing which is very important is that this simplifies to a large extent the method of administering treatment or administering medicine. You see, a lot of these instruments are now being developed for third world countries. Now, we can't hope to train third world people directly into medicine over a short space of time. And if we don't do something quickly, I mean, many people are going to be in dire pain and straits, which no help has done, because, I mean, there are far too few medical practitioners to be able to deal with the amount of people that need help and treatment. Therefore, the effect of diagnosing a condition is not so vitally important. If you're dealing with it medically, a diagnosis is vitally important, because otherwise you'd administer the wrong medication. But if you're dealing with some internal organ that is out of alignment and you're assessing it by its vibrational force field, then providing you can correct, or there's some method or some technique that can correct this vibrationary force field, irrespective of the condition which is causing it, you're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, many people can be helped merely by injecting the frequency back into the structure. And what also you've got to remember is that the frequency you're injecting is the natural frequency. You're working hand in hand with nature. You're not doing anything contrary to nature, because the adverse condition is contrary to nature. So therefore, if you're putting in the corrected frequency and signal, the human structure is very keen to get back into alignment. This is one of the principal problems that have been in the organ transplant in surgery. It is the harmonic concept. Everything is taken into consideration when a transplant is done, whether it's by a kidney transplant or heart transplant. Everything is taken into consideration. But up until a short while ago, we gave no consideration to the harmonic. And therefore, if the harmonic of that transplanted heart is not in line with the harmonics of the rest of that system, we use the term, the body rejects the transplant. This is merely what it means. It rejects it because the harmonic evaluation of that heart will not fit in with the rest of the harmonics of the system in the body.
Hmm. So in other words, in order to utilize a sound or a series of harmonics as a healing tool, What you would do is you would inject this into the body, and that which was diseased or vibrating out of harmony or ease with the rest of the body would somehow resonate back to its proper frequency.
Back to its proper frequency. But one thing we've got to be careful in this, you use the word inject. Now, if we use the word inject, a lot of people think we're going to stick a needle into them and inject something. We transmit it into the system. So the system is easy. There is no breaking of skin or surface. No needles are used. It is an application which is applied to the surface of the body. And if you apply sound in the audible range to the surface of the body, it will transmit itself right straight through the body and out the other side. Now, if there's nothing organically incorrect in the area through which that travels, it will travel straight through and be rejected on the far side. No harm will be done, no damage will be done.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's any abnormality in the frequency of the areas you're projecting the frequency field to, then it will rectify that as it passes through. And merely by simply placing the hand on the far side to which the applicator is applied, you can tell whether the condition is advanced or whether it's very bad or whether it's very slight.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the frequency signal travels through very quickly, there is very little wrong in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But if it takes some seconds or a minute before it travels through, then you know it's meeting obstacles on its passage through the structure.
Mm-hmm. What sort of cases have you worked with?
Well, we've dealt actually, well, I mean, over that period of time with many thousands of cases. The early work in the early days was muscular rheumatism, arthritis, fibrositis, and the point was to treat these people. Now, in advanced cases, we particularly chose advanced cases in some cases to see how long or how much improvement we could get, where medically speaking we said it was incurable and gone too far. In some of these cases, the patients had had rheumatic disorders or arthritic disorders for a period of 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Of elderly people. In many of these cases, we were able to stabilize the condition and prevent further deterioration. But in lots of cases, we got improvement, and if we got cases early enough, then we got a cure.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, many, many cases have been dealt with which have no sort of relationship to the cases we started off with. I mean, we've treated heart conditions, lung conditions, bronchial conditions, intestinal troubles. Most of these conditions now can all be treated by this technique and this method.
You have some slides that you're going to show us which may tell us a little bit about the effects of sound on some of the inorganic matter.
Well, that is correct, because a lot of these slides are were originally done by Dr. Hans Jenny, showing the effect on substance and liquids and fluids of particular sound frequencies. Now, although they have no medical validity at this particular point in time, because we've moved on further to that, they are interesting in as much as you can see the effect, and I think it's always more convincing if you can see rather than just to hear what someone's talking about. So therefore, if you look at the film, the slides, if you look at these slides, you will see how the intricate patterns which we can formulate in substance can be changed merely by altering the frequency fields.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at some of these now.
We're going to show you now a few slides to give you some idea, because I think if you get a visual interpretation of what we have been discussing, you get a better impression of exactly what we're doing, where we can go, what we can create, and what we can form. It is scientifically correct to say that shape and form owe their shape and form solely to sound. And by these slides, we are able to show you how that shape and form can be held and repeated as many times as we wish, merely by the use of sound. Here we show one single drop of water placed on a plate to which the frequency field has been attached. By this means, we've been able to make it visual for you to see the geometric forms that can be formed when these cymatic frequency is filled into a structure. Here we have just one single drop of water vibrating at a low frequency. The low frequency gives the illusion that it is almost solid or semi-solid. It is not, it is just clear tap water and nothing more. Now if we change that frequency, we can change the form and the shape. This is again the same drop of water as in the previous picture, but the frequency field has changed. We have changed it, and so long as that frequency exists, this shape and form will maintain its hold. It will act in this particular way every time this frequency is placed into the plate, which is the dark area around the outside. If we change the frequency back, we can reverse it back to the previous one. But each time we change, so the frequency modulates the single drop of water that's showing on the plate. Here again, we have the same metal plate and the same drop of water. We haven't changed the water in any way, say exactly the same water, but again we have changed the frequency field. Within this we are using single frequencies and not the multiple frequencies of the cymatic instrument. But as the frequency goes higher, you will notice that the design within it becomes a little more ethereal. In other words, we are seeing more spaces between. But even so, the spaces are still contained water. Again, same plate, same water. Again, the frequency has changed and we're becoming a little more ethereal again. It's gradually tightening up onto these areas and sparsing out in these areas, making the design a little more ethereal, looking less solid, in other words. Now, if the frequency field was changed back, we could recreate any one of these back in line or move them up in line. We can recreate this time and time again and make the same patterns over and over again. Now, here we have a complete change both of the material that we're using and also the frequency field that's being fed in. This was our first realization that we could, apart from making a flat diagrammatic form on the plate, we could evolve it into a three-dimensional figure or form. What we are feeding into here is five frequencies into the plate, which causes this malleable plastic to lift up, to formulate into this form and shape, and fold itself into the center groove along the top. It's in constant movement, but keeping the constant form and shape. This was the first realization that the cymatic concept and the cymatic principle could formulate a design and a pattern which was in similarity aligned to the formation structures within the human body. Here we have a picture of cellular development showing exactly how the cell structure forms and how this interrelating form folds into this center crevice. It is a moving mass the whole time, moving in constantly, enfolding within itself. Here we have something which is just plastic. It's pliable plastic, but we're feeding a field into it which will create the same movement and basically the same form of a structure as the natural one that preceded it. Here again we have another picture of a cell development divided into the four concepts and the outer rim around the outside. Again, in a constant state of enfoldment, one side from the outer moving into the inner from all four sides in a constant state. If this was on a moving picture, it would look like a living amoeba pulsing and moving. We have another picture which is very similar in appearance to the last one that we showed you, but this one is again plastic, being formulated into this shape and form by a cymatic frequency. Except that here we have, if you notice, there are five areas within it instead of four. But the same action is taking place, an unfolding movement from the outer rim to the inner points, from the outer rim to the inner points. In other words, like a living, evolving mass. But it owes its life wholly and solely to the vibration or the frequency field is being fed into it and nothing else. Here we have a very highly magnified picture of the forefinger of a newborn child, showing the sort of cell development that is in on the skin surface. This is lycopodium dust, vibrating at a similar frequency, formulating itself up into again the small center point, almost a replica of the cell formation of the child's fingers. Now, as you can see by the slides that you've seen, we can reproduce the most fantastic shapes, forms. We can almost duplicate parts of the human anatomy and structure merely by putting the correct frequency into place and utilizing it. These things can be reproduced as many times as we want. Again and again, we can reproduce them and watch them almost like living shapes, living forms, living amoeba. They owe their life wholly and solely to sound, and perhaps we do too.
This is just a wonderful opportunity.
Uh-huh.
Not a goal.
Yeah.
The fact that it's an investiture into the nature of the structure, but the structure never could comprehend it before it grew up. Growing up was one of the processes of the illusion that the wise men say we have to go through this Maya, this illusion, in order to come through to that level.
All our terms of reference are all screwed up. I mean, it's just like we could just drop everything and start over, we'd be better off.
Well, we can.
Yeah, I know.
It's a necessary journey.
Yeah.
We don't hear anything. Where were you? Sound is slow.
If you snore, you can remember, and if you snore, you'll hear it all. You see what snore is?
Can you remember
it? Why not? Being swallowed up by the old.
You mind the going conscious? A biddy?
That's how the head formed over the neck. The sperm didn't swallow the ovum swallowed the sperm. And then the whole thing came in together. You ever seen the picture called Miracle of Life?
Yeah.
So that's how come that portion of your anatomy wants to phase down into the other portion. And then you begin to watch. And that's where the respiratory control is, by watching.
Once I get to the starting
to face down, it's called the vigil.
Vigil.
Okay. No vigil. That's the origin of the word vigilante. Today we call them security. So you just call it come watch a while or pray a while with me?
Well, the slides are quite astounding, especially the ones that we saw where the sound formation was almost exactly a duplicate of the cellular formation. There's also a film that you have made with Dr. Hans Jenny on this material. Is it not true?
That's correct. I think if you see the actual film on it, it gives you a better concept and a better idea of how these shapes and forms can move. In some parts of the film, it looks almost as if it's a living, moving amoeba that's existing there. But all of it owes its life wholly, solely, and simply to sound. You stop the sound and everything stops. You turn on the sound and everything becomes alive. It looks like living shape and form.
Wasn't there something in the Bible? In the beginning was the Word. I'm talking about the Word meaning sound or something like that.
Oh, yes, we love to use that one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. I read this many times as a child and it didn't make much sense to me. I quite admit it was interesting, but it didn't have much sense. But what we didn't realize, and we didn't realize until comparatively recently, is that within this we have a scientific formula. So if we turn it into the modern idiom, into the great voids of space, sound caused matter to take shape, because it's basically what it does. You can take any matter what you like, whether it's a liquid, whether it's oil, whether it's dust, whether it's sand, whatever it is, and you can form it into the most intricate and fascinating designs and patterns and shapes and forms. But you see, most of this work, the basic work, we have followed it up, it's true, was done by Dr. Hans Jenny. But this, medically speaking, was not what we wanted. What we needed was a harmonic that would form the, not into a flat shape. You see, most of these are flat shapes on the plate. We wanted something that would form into a three-dimensional form and shape, something that would defy gravity, if you like, in which we had injected levitation. Well, when I first went into the laboratory and asked my technician if he could formulate some way in which we could create levitation, he thought I'd gone start raving mad and said, well, that's impossible. But anyhow, we, from single frequencies, we tried two frequencies, three frequencies, four frequencies, and the patterns become more intriguing, they became different, they become, if I may dare use this word, they become almost ethereal, because they become very fine and delicate. But it still wasn't what we were after. And we were almost at the point of giving up. And we said, well, we'll try one more, we'll try five. And when we tried five frequencies, oh, we no